Thank you, Nick. Good morning, everyone. My name is Victoria Barr, and I'm honored to be your worship associate today at our online service of the First Unitarian Church of Victoria as we continue to explore our theme of the month, compassion. I invite you now to settle into our service in a spirit of gratitude and respect as we acknowledge the deep, deep roots and sacred traditions connected to the lands on which we usually gather, the traditional lands of the Wasanic Nations. I come to you today as a grateful visitor on the traditional territory of the Lekwungen-speaking peoples, specifically the Esquimalt and Songhees Nations. Last week was the one-year anniversary of the final report into the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. I invite you to join me in learning and listening and then integrating that knowledge into the collective work of this congregation toward truth, healing, and reconciliation. May that work forge real understanding and offer challenges to the legacies of colonialism. As I heard in last Sunday's anti-racism rally in support of Black Lives Matter, we want a better world. I would like to acknowledge and to thank our awesome worship team working diligently behind the scenes to bring you today's service. That team includes our greeter, Lynn Bonner, who greeted you so beautifully this morning. And Isaac's posting in the chat box. David Richardson, our host, spotlighter, and breakout rooms coordinator. Bill Glassman, today's moderator. Wally DuTemple, our on-call Zoom tech support person. Jamie Twidell, our recorder. And finally, our office staff, Nikki Mullen and Shannon Oatway. We couldn't do it without all of your incredible technical skills, guidance, and overall support. So thank you very much. A few notes about our online programs. If you need technical help at any time during the service, you can call church member Wally for assistance. And as far as I know, I'm just going to check the chat box every once in a while just to see what's going on over there. Wally's number is now in the chat box, so you can call Wally if you need assistance. During the service, we will be posting information in the chat box, so feel free to check there if you need more information at any time. After the service, we invite you to join a breakout room for an opportunity to get to know others a little bit better in small groups. And there's actually quite a few announcements this morning, so settle in a little bit while I try to go through all of them. Over the past few weeks, a very hardworking board task force has been meeting to consider all aspects of the church's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. In preparation for our upcoming annual general meeting, we will be holding two Zoom question and answer sessions to discuss First Unitarian's COVID-19 restart plan, including Sunday services, small group meetings, spiritual education and learning for children and youth, music program, office staff, etc. The Q&A sessions will take place at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Tuesday, that's PM, on Tuesday, June 16th, and from 2 to 3 PM on Wednesday, June 17th. Login details for those Zoom sessions and a summary of the task force recommendations will be emailed to everyone ahead of the meetings. We hope to see you there with your questions. In terms of the annual general meeting that is coming up, the last orientation seminar for the AGM is today, immediately following our time in the breakout groups after the service, starting at 11:45 this morning. I'm just going to check the chat box because I think, there it is. Anna, thank you so much. Anna has posted in the chat box the link for you to go to access the Zoom session this morning for that AGM orientation session. The AGM itself will be held next Sunday on June 21st. If you plan to vote as a First Unitarian Church of Victoria member at the AGM, please try to attend to practice the Zoom voting procedure because it's a little different from what our church has done so far with Zoom. which is why they have the orientation sessions. We'll be discussing and voting on using the endowment fund to cover the expected funding deficit for 2020, presenting a new board slate of candidates for election, and reviewing other Zoom protocols. Lots of information to share at the AGM this year. Please register in advance. After registering, you will receive a confirmation email containing information about how to join the AGM. So there's in the chat box now, Anna has just posted the link to access or to register in advance rather for the June 21st AGM and how to access through the link there. Please note that proxy votes for the AGM are to be sent to Jamie Twidell, who is the poll captain of the voting procedure. Address is included on the proxy form in the AGM package sent or mailed in May. And the proxy voting form is for members only. The AGM package, along with a link to the video about voting, will be emailed to all members and friends on June 18th. So please check your inbox for that. Exciting news about our online auction. It's with deep gratitude that I would like to offer thanks to our entire community for the amazing outcome of our first ever online auction. To date, it has raised, get this, $16,079 for the congregation. And I hear that that number continues to grow. In this time of financial pressure brought on by the COVID-19 virus, this is so heartening and reassuring. It says so much about the vitality and strength of our congregation. Let's all thank our auction team, Sue Ellen Gunther, Jen Young, Fran Hancock, Astrid Furley Eaton, Lorna Anthony, Roberta Clare, Kathy Vinton, and David Teets for technical assistance. In addition, thanks to all of you who donated something for hosting and cooking and creating. You can't have an auction without items to auction. And thank you all to all of you for your amazing generosity. You're not only keeping us afloat, you're lifting up our spirits in this challenging time. It is amazing what we can do together. Children's programming. Okay, so a little bit more about that. You can find information about our online programming for children, parents, and caregivers in our e-weekly. Thanks, Lynn. You can find information about our online programming for children, parents, and caregivers in our e-weekly on our website under Children and Youth Programs, or email Aaron Liddell. Anna will post Aaron's contact information in the chat box. Okay, that's all the announcements. Our theme this month is compassion, which later in the service, Gita will connect with the symbol of the lotus flower. And I will just try to share my screen to show you that now. As Canadian Muslim religious leader Dr. Ingrid Mattson shared, it is in compassion that we feel most at home and feel most whole. We feel that we are where we should be. This morning, I'd also like to share a short poem by Andrew Pakula, I think it's pronounced, called Let There Be Light. Let there be light. The light of joy, the light of happiness, and the light of contentment. May it illuminate our paths and fill our lives with peace. And let there be dark, for it is from our dark places that we are brought forward, tried and tested, and impelled toward growth. It is in these places that we realize compassion and learn to love. And there was day and there was night. And there was joy and there was sorrow. And it was good. We will now move to light our chalice. So please gather your chalice or a candle if you have one. And I invite Lynn Bonner, our chalice lighter this morning, Thank you, Lynn, to light our collective chalice. If you don't have a chalice this morning, you can share Lynn's. Thank you, Lynn. May this small light remind us of the beauty and compassion around us and within each of us. Our music director, Nick Fairbank, will now lead us in our opening song, Let It Be a Dance. You'll find the lyrics in the chat box. Off to you, Nick.
Let it be a dance we do. May I have this dance with you. Through the good times and the bad times too. Let it be a dance. Let a dancing song be heard. Play the music, say the words, and fill the sky with laughing birds. Let it be a dance. Let it be a dance. Let it be a dance. Learn to follow, learn to lead. Feel the rhythm, feel the need. To reap the harvest, plant the seed. And the bad times too. Let it be a dance. Everybody turn and spin. Let your body learn to bend. And like a willow with the wind. Let it be a dance. Let it be a dance. Let it be a dance. A child is born, the old must die. A time for joy, a time to cry. Take it as it passes by. Let it be a dance.
Beautiful. Thank you, Nick. David, can I have spot? Can you put spotlight on me, please? You haven't done that already? Thanks. Okay, I would like to offer a special welcome to those of you who are new to First Unitarian, or for those of you who have found your way back to this community in our online mode. If you are comfortable in letting us know who you are now, please feel free to use the chat box to say hello, or simply use the raise hand or thumbs up symbol. You will find those symbols by clicking on the icon labeled reaction at the bottom center of your screen. And so you can just add a little, just a little symbol so that we know that you're out there. There's 109 of us this morning, which is a wonderful number of people to join us at our service. Okay. Welcome, everybody. Appreciate your being here, joining us this beautiful Sunday morning. Now, I'm delighted to introduce our speaker for today, Geeta John Iyam. Geeta has been an active member of our congregation since 2004. You may recall her children, who are now grown, Dean, Maggie, and Lini. Even after her own kids graduated, Geeta still continues to volunteer in our kids' programs. Her warmth and care are much appreciated by all ages in our community. Today, she will share with us the homily as well as the story for all ages. Geeta.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. I'm happy to be with all of you this morning. And so here's the story. The story is about a boy called Rama and the goddess Mahakali. So this happened maybe 500 or 600 years ago in the southern part of India, and was then a princely kingdom called Vijayanagara. And in a small town called Tenali lived Rama. Rama was a dreamer. He came from a really poor family. His dad had died and his mom had to work quite hard to bring him up. But Rama spent many hours lying under the trees, dreaming, thinking, planning. And that day he was not feeling very well. You know, he had a little bit of a cold. So he's lying there and a holy man passed by. Usually in India, if an elder passes by, you always stand up and bow down. But not Rama. Rama was dreaming. So the man stopped and called out to him. Of course, Rama jumped up and he said, "Oh, good morning, Your Holiness. I am so sorry I didn't see you. You know, I'm just not feeling very well." And the holy man felt sorry for Rama and he said, "Look, you seem like a really smart and nice boy. I know you're having a hard time, but I am going to teach you a mantra. A mantra is like a word with a high vibration, like a tone, and it has a high vibration." So he said, "I'm going to teach you this mantra. You need to go to the goddess Kali's temple that is at the edge of the village and say this 10,000 times. And let's see what happens." Rama was, of course, thrilled. He picked up the mantra really quickly and ran straight to the temple. The sun was going down. It was dusk. Rama sat there in front of the goddess and started to chant the mantra. He was getting tired. It was past midnight, but there, almost 10,000. And there she appeared, the goddess Kali. The minute Rama saw her, he started to laugh. You know, if you don't know who goddess Kali is, if everybody in the kingdom of the gods has trouble, they go to Lord Shiva to protect them. But if Lord Shiva has trouble, he goes to the goddess Kali, who also happens to be his wife. And she comes in many forms, but in her Kali form, she's fierce and she has 1,000 heads. So Rama looked at her and he started to laugh. And the goddess was annoyed and he said, "What? You were chanting 10,000 times to laugh at me?" He said, "No, goddess, no. You know, I have a cold. And when my one nose runs, I have such a hard time. What do you do when your 10,000 noses run?" The goddess smiled and she said, "You are such a funny boy. You have such wit. I am going to bless you. I'm going to bless that you are going to be Vikata Kavi." A Vikata Kavi is like our comics, you know, the stand-up comics or the comics whom you watch on television, who are so funny. They make you laugh, but they also make you think. So Rama thought for a while and said, "Wait, goddess. If I am a Vikata Kavi, the people around me are going to laugh and have fun, but what's in it for me?" "Ah," she said, "okay. So here are two bowls. In this, I have the sweet milk of wisdom. And in this, I have the sour milk of wealth." It's like, you know, like chocolate milk and yogurt. But he said, "Wait, how can I choose? I've never tried any of these." So he handed him the bowls, and guess what he did? He took them both and drank them both. After the goddess left, of course, the story goes that Rama used his wit and his wisdom, and he found his way to the king's court, where he gained a lot of wealth. He helped the king rule the kingdom with peace. And there was Rama, with a dreamer with a lot of dreams and wit. He ended up with all three: wit, wisdom, and wealth. I'm going to try and show you a little bit of a picture. So for those of you who are not familiar with India, you get a little bit of a visual. I'm going to share my screen for just a few seconds. So there's Rama talking to the holy man. And that is the goddess Kali. And you can only see a few of her heads, but she really has 10,000 heads and many, many arms, and she carries weapons. And there's Vikatakavi. It's also a palindrome, if you've noticed. And it's written out in English and in my language, which is Tamil. And there's Rama with the king. So the stories of Tenali Raman are really popular in India. We have comic books, and he's on television, and we still think about him 500, 600 years since he had that meeting with the goddess Kali. And that's my story for you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick, and thank you, Geeta, for that wonderful story. David, could you spotlight on me, please? Thanks. Okay, in this time, as we cope with the financial impact of COVID-19, we invite you to continue to give to our community so that we can make ends meet, maintaining staffing, paying bills, and caring for our property so it is ready for our return. You can give by email, by mailing a check to the church, or by clicking the donate button on our website. Anna has also posted in the chat some information about how to donate online. For some, this is a real time of financial hardship. If you are in need, especially for rent, food, or medication, please contact Reverend Shauna Lingood, who will direct you to our church's Lifeline program. We will get through this challenging time together. Now, a little bit of music and meditation. Please join me now in listening to some beautiful music that Nick will play us. If you wish, I invite you to let the music guide you into a time of meditation. Settle into your seats. Breathe in. Breathe out. If you feel comfortable doing so, you are also welcome to close your eyes. Thank you, Nick. And now we welcome Geeta back to share with us the homily. A special request, some have let us know that they find it a little distracting when folks post in the chat during the homily. So if you could save your comments for the breakout room discussions, that would be great. Thank you so much. Over to you, Geeta.
So thank you again for giving me this time. The symbol of the lotus is found all over India, in art, fashion, architecture, in popular culture. And if you give me a minute, I'm just going to share my screen with you. My mother, Padma, and my daughter, Mrinalini, are named after it. And it has been an image that I have carried with me, and it has helped me navigate life in two cultures. If you Google the lotus in India, you would get everything from political parties to temples. But I just put a few pictures together so you could see it from my own photographs that I brought. So here goes. So that's a lotus rangoli that people would decorate their houses with outside my house for maybe some festival because it's a special one. That's the church in the village that I grew up in, and you can see it's shaped like a lotus. And that's the detail on the granite floors and on the walls. That's Padmasana, a pose in yoga. And here are two goddesses that are sitting on lotus blossoms. I suppose because the highest form of liberation is always represented by a thousand-petaled lotus, and the gods and goddesses have kind of reached that idea of perfection or reached that space of perfection. I also have a pair of lotus earrings that I got from my parents, a traditional and a special wedding gift. I came to Canada 30 years ago, having met and married my husband, Zach. My life in India had been full and happy, and I just wanted to quickly show you the last of my slides. It's my father, my sister, and I think a long, long, long time ago. So I'll stop sharing my screen. Give me a moment, please. So my life in India had been full and happy. I had friends who were like family and family who were like friends. My father was my friend, philosopher, and guide. He was a minister in the Protestant church, a Gandhian who had been part of India's freedom movement. Growing up, I was fascinated by his life that was full of kindness, compassion, and joy. To him, everything was divine. I can still see him like raise a glass of water with such reverence to thank it. He would call kids who were playing, who had forgotten to water a flowering plant and say, "Have you not heard it asking for water?" And I still remember him coming into a room where there was a colicky child who was screaming her lungs out. He bowed down to the child, picked it up, and rocked the baby, saying, "Little Jesus, go to sleep." And of course, the baby went to sleep. Needless to say, leaving him to move to Canada was my greatest pain. I can still choke remembering that moment. I can still remember being at the airport, feeling my heart ready to tear itself, to jump out and run back home. But my father gave me a great gift of freedom that day. He told me to find another father and love them like I did him, so he could find another daughter whom he could love like he loved me. The roots of the lotus are plump rhizomes, and they're connected to each and every one in that pond, and they're perfectly delicious to eat. The lotus flowers are beautiful and they're held high above the water on hollow stems. The flat green leaves, they spread out all around, and they are such a glorious sight. The flowers seem to dance on the water, and yet if you splash water on them, it will just roll off. The lotus has its feet in the mud, and yet keeps its head above water. For this reason, they have been a metaphor for the human life that is steeped in materialism and pain, and yet is constantly striving for freedom and liberation. To love and to give wholly to something or someone, and yet remain unattached to that something or someone, is the basis of so many Eastern teachings and practice. Bond without bondage. It is what I learned from my father. It is the basis of compassion. It is also what allows one their ultimate freedom. Complex philosophical teachings and practices in their simplest form lie in the metaphor of the lotus. And what is this love? I learned from the children at this community. I'm not sure what theme we were exploring that year, but we were all eating oranges and talking about love. The kids would eat one segment and say, oh, I think love is friendship. And another, love is respect. Love is laughter. Love is caring, happiness. It's not giving up. It's forgiveness. You get the point? The kids here taught me that love is like an orange. By the time I was a young adult, I had moved away from the religion of my parents, Christianity. I had difficulty with having to abdicate reason to the authority of the Bible, and the difficulty being inside a church system that controlled half the planet in the name of a simple and courageous teacher who wandered around teaching justice and compassion. And I often wonder if Jesus Christ were to be alive in that same form today, where he, she, or they would be, on which side. And so the symbol of the lotus, along with my father's gift to love without attachment, unconditional love, became my golden rule as I began life in Toronto. I lived in the St. Clair and Avenue Road area and would walk to the subway station every morning, past magnificent churches. One day, I read these words outside the UU church. Expand your heart, energize your mind, and engage your hands. I went in that Sunday and have never looked back. The principles encourage me to practice justice, equity, and compassion. They offer me freedom in a responsible search for truth and meaning, and in upholding the right of conscience. They help me to actively care for the interdependent web of life. The principles have kept me connected and grounded to this community. When I came to Victoria, I didn't know anybody. I cried the day I realized that there was not one person I could name as an emergency contact in my children's school application. But now, 15 years later, I have an extended family at work and a village in the UU community. Today actually happens to be my birthday, and I am so grateful to have my sweet family from work and home. Anya, Nabila, Robin, Linny and Inji, Maggie, Andrew, Haley and Dean, and you, the UU Village. I am so grateful for each and every one of you. I'm also grateful for the several committees that keep us connected to each other and to the community outside, especially the Lifeline Project. They have supported me in so many, many ways. Most recently, they have supported my team to give care packages to over 30 children and youth in this time of COVID. So through this beautiful journey, I don't really know when, I lost that feeling of having to find a replacement for my father or sister or brother. Every relationship is now its own treasure. My life is filled with love. No matter whom my love is directed towards, it fills me with the exact same joy. Last week, I was listening to a panel of psychologists, wellness experts, and spiritual leaders from several North American universities. The issue at hand was depression and suicidal ideation in students. They said that in the era of social media, the loneliest age group was the 18 to 22-year-olds. They felt alone in a campus full of others just like them. And their number one wish for themselves was love. The experts talked about many interventions that seemed to help, all backed by research. Breath and mindfulness practices, movement, art, time in nature, yoga. These helped bring peace and positive energy. But along with this, they found that students needed to find something bigger than themselves. They were given an opportunity to find someone or something to care about and serve. Essentially, they were being taught tools to grow compassion for themselves and others. This is also what I'm trying to do with the youth I work with, trying to help them find one another, find another father, mother, sister to love, and to practice giving wholly and fully to something without getting too stuck, just like the lotus. On the surface, my two countries and cultures couldn't be more different. But when you look a little deeper, and you will find lotus blossom people thriving in both. I would like to finish with a verse in my mother tongue, Tamil. The Thirukkural is a book that was written between 300 BCE to 5th century of the Common Era. It has over 1,330 verses with 7 words in each. And they talk about ethics and morality. They're just musings on life. And there's no talk of religion or language or country, which is really strange for me when I read other things that have come. Anbirkum undo adaikuntar, ar valar punkanir pusal tarum. Anbilar yellam tamakurier, anbudayar yenbum urier pirarku. Those without love try to fill that emptiness by wanting to own the world. Indeed, they are deluded into thinking that they can own the world. But those who love belong to the world. Nothing can hold them back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you, Geeta. That was lovely. Really beautiful. I would now like to introduce Nancy Dobbs, another member of our wonderful congregation, who will lead us in the hand signs for the song Spirit of Life. Nancy and Nick, over to you.
Good morning. The signs that I'm going to share with you are used by the Unitarian Capital Congregation downtown, and were taught to be by Amanda Tarling. So we're going to take these fingers, put them together, and make a spirit of life, the letter L for life. Come unto me. Sing is like turning the pages of the book, the music book. Sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. Blow in the wind, rise in the sea. Spirit of life, come to me, come to me.
All the
Sorry, I had muted myself. There we go. Thank you, Nancy and Nick. That was lovely. Our closing words this morning are from Cheryl Block in a poem entitled, As We Go Forward. As we go forward into this frightening, exhilarating, confusing, miraculous world, may we offer our comfort to the afflicted, our love to those who are lonely, and our wish for all to be safe. I now invite Lynn to extinguish our chalice and you to extinguish yours, if you had one this morning. Please take the beauty of this light with you through your day. Thank you. An empathy buddy is a listener within our congregation who makes themselves available to support any congregant who needs help processing emotions that are brought up after a Sunday service. Today's empathy buddies are Lynn, Cressa, Sisu, and Steve Charlo. Their contact information is in the chat box below, or will be soon. Oh, yes, it is there. Thank you, Anna. Another quick reminder about the AGM orientation at 11:45, if you're able to attend that. And a happy birthday to Gita. Thank you again for all your contributions. Please now join us in our farewell song. It's called Here Together by David Glasgow. Nick will sing with the piano, and I think there'll be some lyrics posted in the chat box. Yes, thank you. All the best to you, everyone. Thank you. Take care.
These holy moments give us strength to go down the winding road until we meet again. We have spent time together and these holy moments give us strength. Until we meet.